Hello there, and welcome to episode 12 of For the Pop Presents Wrestling with Star Wars, with your hosts, the Incidental Nerd, and S4R4. Hey, S4.
Hey. So, today I thought we would talk about specifically some discourse that's happening in Star Wars. As usual, you know, there's always something. But it seems like there are more and more people upset with Kathleen Kennedy. And it's stemming from a conversation that George Lucas specifically was talking about, I believe, talking about his new...
Yeah, so on July 27th, 2025, George Lucas remarkably made his first ever appearance at Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't to support anything Star Wars related or Indiana Jones or anything like that. It was to discuss, he was on a panel with Guillermo del Toro and a couple of other creatives to discuss the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art.
Right.
And so he was specifically talking about art. And when he talked about that, the quote that really got some people worked up was basically, he was saying that art is more about a connection and emotional connection with the work, not how much it cost or what celebrity it did it. I don't think it's anything anyone will tell you. If you have emotional connection, it's art. And so we saw several different vocal members of the Star Wars community who took this as meaning that every single Star Wars property should be a single connected story. When Lucas was really talking about the connection that's made to make you feel something. Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever cared if one thing or another of Star Wars was interlocked and, you know, like all telling one single narrative.
No. And so as a result of that speech, people had decided to use that to take it out of, they use it out of the contents, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And so we started seeing a bunch of posts that said that George Lucas just admitted he hated Kathleen Kennedy.
Right.
Or Disney wants men back in Star Wars.
Okay. So this basically goes back to something that Kathleen Kennedy said not that long ago.
No, this was almost right after it. And so they were saying that her saying what her quote that they're misinterpreting saying was in response to that, what George Lucas was saying in that speech or in that conversation, that not everything has to connect.
Right.
But
I think, you know, English is a very difficult language, S4, and connect means more than one thing. And I think that some of these folks who hopefully are relatively educated are just using the multiple usage of connection to twist it to their narrative. Because Kathleen Kennedy was talking about, you know, we have 9 connected movies, the Skywalker saga, as it's called. And she's talking about making other things like the Acolyte and the new movie that's going to be coming out, Starfighter. These are things that they're all part of the Star Wars universe, but not necessarily connected to the Skywalker saga.
Oh, so that's what you were interpreting what she was saying.
Absolutely.
I see.
She was talking about telling additional Star Wars stories, but they don't all have to be connected.
It is, because she did say that there would be, you know, standalone, more standalone.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Actually, when I had, it's making sense, but actually what I had first thought about it when she said that, I was taking it as in reaction to how, even during Andor, that everybody had to find his sister. He had to find You know, that, sure. That Leia, that
yeah.
Playa had to be Leia.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And I thought that was like, not every, because she says not every little thing has to connect.
Right.
And so that's what I thought she was saying. Like,
and maybe I misinterpreted it, but well, I think that, right. I think she was talking about being able to tell stories that stand alone.
Yeah, that's
and most of, and yeah. most of what we have, Clone Wars, Rogue One, Solo, Andor, they're tangentially connected to the Skywalker saga.
Yeah.
They might be telling stories of characters that you didn't... It's fresh perspectives because it's a character that's not connected to Luke, Leia, or Anakin, you know, like in Andor.
Right.
But it's still deeply connected to that same story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think really... Acolyte was the first piece of, like, long-form media for Star Wars that didn't connect to any of it. And I think they're trying to do more of that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No, I don't either. I mean, it does have a loose connection because in Acolyte, Yoda is in it.
Right. But Yoda's been alive for what? How? Years, okay, like that, so almost 1,000 years.
Yeah,
and you're going back to like an early part of.
He was like 600 at the time of that.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. So he's still around. Okay. There's connective tissue there. Is that enough? Like we don't need.
Guess,
it doesn't all have to be connected.
I guess not for some people is what the thing is. Yeah. So these guys were getting really angry. And I was reading one of the transcripts, and like this quote is, "I'm fuming. Lucasfilm boss Kathleen Kennedy teases more standalone stories in Star Wars," and she said the quote, you know, like more standalone.
Mm-hmm.
"Then not everything has to be connected. What she's telling you, literally in front of your face, that this is why she ruined Star Wars." I'm like, what? Kind of a jump is that?
A bad one. A really, really bad one. I don't know how else to put it.
I think Star Wars fans, there's the toxic part, the toxic Star Wars fans are extremely toxic. I don't see how you even make those connections, and I don't see how you get what Lucas is talking about. How art makes people feel is any kind of a slap at Kennedy. And then her Comic-Con speech about, hey, this is where we're moving, is a response to that. And then, oh, she's telling you to your face, this is why she ruined everything.
I am ruining Star Wars for everybody. Yeah, that's what
I
she said.
I hate all of you, so I'm making stuff you don't like. It's such a weird thing.
I can't believe, because there's quotes out there from people where they're like, Kathleen Kennedy hates Star Wars fans, and she's ruining the franchise. The fuck? Are you serious?
I don't understand.
At this point, go look at Kathleen Kennedy's credits. She doesn't need Star Wars.
Mm-mm.
And she's had a long and successful career away from Star Wars. She doesn't need it. If she hated Star Wars, she could move on to the next thing. Yeah. Literally.
And it's such a weird thing, too, because I can understand if your argument and what you didn't care for is that her vision and Lucas's vision are different. And a lot of people feel that that stems from the fact that Disney created Legends and canon. Like, mm-hmm. this is canon and Legends is not. And then they pull from that source sure. material. And I think that alone segmented the Star Wars fan population, and then it just kept getting more and more fractured when you're starting to get away from, like you said, the Skywalker saga.
When you're talking about the toxic part of the fan base, I can't help but think of a word that is very closely linked to toxic in our community. Masculinity.
I'm really generally
just very fed up with the making it's just a matter of Kathleen Kennedy is a woman, So I'm going to blame her for the things that I don't like in Star Wars.
Yes, because because there was that comment about Disney wants men back in Star Wars because she made the Force feminine. And I'm like, wait, I don't really get that.
Well, I don't know if it is it possible that the newer Star Wars content isn't connecting with the, you know, 18 to 35 male demographic that is so popular and talked about. I don't know. Like, I could see if that's a perspective, but that it's really ridiculous because it gets taken to a point of Kathleen Kennedy is a woman. She has woke Star Wars. Like, Star Wars is all woke now. Rey being a big old Mary Sue, the lead of the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever really understand that.
When you have both women and men, and you always have had both women and men leads in the Star Wars films from the beginning.
Yeah.
From the beginning, you had Luke and Leia. And actually, Leia's outnumbered, you know? There's Han and Chewie, like your main characters.
And yet she was still the...
And she was a strong character.
Yeah.
In the prequels, you have Padme, who is a strong character. Yeah. A strong, for the most part, take-charge female character. There was never anything wrong with it. Now you have Rey, who arguably is the main character of the sequel trilogy. But you also have Finn, and you also have Poe.
Yeah, so you still have the main three.
Yes. And Kylo is arguably one of the main characters. So it's so frustrating when it becomes this, like, oh, I don't like Star Wars because it's got a female lead now. It's always had a female lead. Always.
Yeah. And I think we talked about it before. I didn't really understand the Mary Sue when it came to Rey. I know you've explained to me what that, but Anakin as a kid had that. And
the idea
questioned it, though.
The idea is that she was like too, and I butted up against it initially with her, but as you kind of grow with that character and learn where she comes from as well. It makes sense that she's unknowingly attuned to the Force.
Yeah, just like Anakin.
Right.
So I didn't understand why people would have problem with that. We're already establishing in canon, or in everything, that not just Force sensitive, but people who can use the Force can do things innately that different from other people.
Right.
And so it bothers me when... Like, they're saying, well, she already knows how... Well, she's surviving on her own in a harsh environment. You're going to know how to defend yourself.
Yeah, she was forced to at a very young age.
So I never saw that as an issue. And especially when I think back to Anakin, and he's the only human doing pod races yet, and he's a child.
Right.
Or just that one scene alone when they're trying to... You know, take over, get back, you know, in Naboo.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, stay out of the way while we do this. Or not she, but I think it's Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon, yeah.
And he jumps in a spaceship.
Oops!
And, oh my god, well, let me try to do this. He ends up in the ship, blows the entire thing up, and no one has a problem with how is that possible.
Right.
But Rey can use a stick. And she's a Mary Sue.
Right.
So, I never did understand that.
Yeah.
So, if you put that aside, I still don't understand that whole, I don't know from this quote, oh, Disney wants men back. So, they're not going to have female leads anymore? Is that what the thing is?
I don't understand
no
it.
No one is even saying that as it is.
So, as it stands...
Because, oh, that's right. Because she did say they do want to get that 18... The 25 was it? Is that the demographic?
Whatever it is,
that's the demographic
that everybody wants.
Everybody
yes.
wants. That's the demographic that'll get all in.
But
and
that's
can
not
the money.
But that is not coming out and saying we went overboard on female leads.
No.
they're just saying that we want to make stories that are compelling to not specifically that demographic, but also that demographic. I don't know. I've never looked at the numbers, so I don't know if like more recent Star Wars stuff dropped for that demographic. But that is a key demographic, and I don't know if people that are making these correlations are making them falsely. But again, going back to the toxic masculinity part of it is, and we just cannot. You can't disconnect it because it is obviously a part of the frustration for these people. The idea that there is a woman lead of Lucasfilm frustrates people, and they decide that when something is made that they don't like, they're going to directly blame it on her. When that's not how it works.
Yeah, it is frustrating because I believe the last time we talked about it, we talked when we were talking about the series that Filoni just dropped with Cad Bane and Ventress.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same people that are upset about
the Tales of the Underworld.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are the same people that are upset about, oh, we need something new. So you got one side trying to give you something new. And you're not happy about it.
Yeah.
And
oh, you're just telling the same story over and over.
And then you have, oh, he doesn't know how to do any other characters except for these guys. And
right.
We want something new. So it's, I don't even understand. I don't think some people just don't know what they really want.
And also, it's...
Unless it's just, we want more Vader, more Vader, more Vader. I'm not sure.
Okay. I'll take more Vader. That's fine.
But you're limited. You can only do so much. And that's the problem. Because then at one point, if you keep doing more Vader, more... I'm not going to argue about having more Vader. But you're going to have to retcon so much at one point just to get more stories out on this, you know?
Or you actually go live action with things that are already part of canon. But that's not the point. That isn't the point. There is excellent Star Wars content that is only tangentially connected to the Skywalker saga.
Yeah.
Andor is a perfect example of
that.
Yes,
I agree.
These were all original characters that were created after Lucas. Lucas had nothing to do with these characters, with Rogue One, which I still say is one of the best, if not the best, Star Wars movie. That's how much I love that movie. The only reason it hurts me to say something like that is that my childhood nostalgia is so connected to the original three that it feels like blasphemy for me to say something like Rogue One might be the best Star Wars movie. But when I look at it and I try to look at it objectively, it quite possibly is. Oh no, and it had a female lead.
Yeah. It's very
and guess what? Weird. It didn't. It had a female lead and a male lead.
Yeah, I'm not too sure if these kind of Star Wars people can ever be satisfied with anything.
Yeah, and one of the things that came up in our research was that the stories were discombobulating. One gentleman, and I use that term loosely, said that the timeline was very messy.
Mm-hmm.
And this blew my mind because, if anything, Star Wars has one of the neatest timelines for a
major franchise.
I'm just going to say intellectual property.
Okay.
Like, as massive as it is, because it is massive.
As opposed to Marvel or DC, you're saying?
Or any, like, when you're talking, because you kind of have to include Marvel, because Star Wars has published comic books as well.
Yes.
But the timeline, and it's very, very clear. Maybe it's not clear to you, but if you look at a book, it's going to very clearly say that it's Star Wars Legends.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to show you the graph of where in that timeline it's at.
Yes, but it's going to specifically say legends. Yeah. And something that's not marked legends is part of the canon. So I think that Lucasfilm has done an excellent job of preserving the timeline and making additions where they wanted to make additions.
Yeah, I have a disagreement with people that do not care for canon and they only like legends.
Okay.
And again, it's tied into...
It's preference, though.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but when their reason for that is this stuff, this not everything has to connect, or the fact that, you know, if it's misogyny and whatever.
Yeah.
But if Lucas would have done it, things would have been like that whole argument. How many Legends books have you read? Quite a bit.
I've probably read quite a bit.
Haven't even scratched the surface.
No, not at all.
So much.
Yeah.
And Lucas did not write those.
No, he I don't know if he really read every single last one
he
of them.
He had to approve everything.
But he did have to approve it. He said, yes. This is Star Wars. And anything that was done under Lucas,
mm-hmm.
when he was the head of Lucasfilms, any book that was written was approved by him.
Yes.
And basically he said, this is Star Wars now.
Yeah, this is good. Okay, this is good, but take this out. Mm-hmm. Or change this. Or,
yeah.
On every single book.
Yes.
And all the books, there are men and female writers for all of them.
Yes.
So why are you not having issues with that?
And now you're talking about, you get into the Disney Plus stuff where you have different, you have the shows, Mandalorian and the Acolyte and the different animated series and Book of Boba Fett. A lot of the things that we've talked about in our episodes. And I think that there is some backlash in terms of like, oh, there was a female writer. There was a female director. You could tell that it was a female director. Mm. You could...
Mm-hmm.
I like the different touches that each
director has done.
Artist brings,
yeah.
to the episodes that they either have written or directed. I don't crave. I do want a series to be to have a continuity.
Yes,
but within that, it's okay to have one episode that has a different tone. Like, it's telling a slightly different story than what we're used to.
Maybe within that series?
Within the series. It's okay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, it's really frustrating to me because I go right back to it, and maybe I'm harping on it unnecessarily, but there just seems to be so much sexist rhetoric that comes along with the arguments against the different directors. And I absolutely love Robert Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I love his films. I've the other things that he's been involved in, I didn't care for as much as I found things to love in Book of Boba Fett. I didn't care for his involvement in that series.
Yeah.
But I didn't see a lot of bad mouthing Robert Rodriguez for Book of Boba Fett.
No, you're right.
And so it's unfair. I really believe it's like, oh, it's like because they're calling individuals out specifically. Oh, I don't want to see Bryce Dallas Howard touch another Star Wars anything. Okay, you probably saw her name at the end of the episode that she directed it or whatever. But are those episodes really that much of... so much different than the other ones that you did like? Or are you just harping on the fact that this is a woman with her hands on something that's Star Wars?
There's definitely some of that. There's definitely a lot of that. But again, I do still feel that it is a vocal minority. But right now, like, I can't even find... I can find it, but I have to dig a lot for actual critique.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this wasn't written well. There's a bit of loopholes with this, or... have issues with, you know, and it's harder to find because once someone does this, and it's always like, like most of these videos that, you know, like George Lucas called out Kathleen Kennedy or they want Star Wars back, it's always like a picture of like Kathleen Kennedy, like, and it's It's very, very frustrating.
It's clickbait.
Yeah, and it's clickbait.
It's clickbait.
And so that gets a lot. And then other similar YouTubers or content creators will follow that.
Yeah.
Because it gets more clicks.
Well, look, this person's got 300,000 likes or views on this video. I want 300,000 videos.
And I'm going to do,
Yeah.
And it's not like, and it's difficult too, because is it really your opinion, or are you just, you just know what's going to get you the clicks? And is that what's more important? And is sowing this discourse in a beloved fandom worth that? I guess to some it is, because they are making money off of that.
I don't know. I mean, we've chosen the Star Wars fandom specifically for this podcast, but we're also parts of a lot of different other fandoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's really a big difference across a lot of different fandoms with the criticisms. And, I mean, there's a lot for in the Star Wars universe, films, comics, books, all of that. And it's a bit of a stereotype, the nerdy curmudgeon.
Mm.
But stereotypes sometimes exist for a reason, and you've run into the gatekeeping jerk off nerds in different fandoms, not just Star Wars. It's
no,
not just
definitely not.
It's not just a Star Wars thing.
Everything has one.
Yeah.
Everything.
It's just a matter of this podcast specifically is seeking it out. Unfortunately, it's really deflating. But then I have to remind myself that, when Star Wars Celebration was here in Chicago, and we went, and what a joyful event that was.
It really was.
There weren't a bunch of people, I'm really angry. It was a building full of joy. It was a building full of thousands of people
all over
celebrating
the same thing.
The same thing. And each year when we go to C2E2 here in Chicago, or we were just at Fan Expo, the love is there. You see it all the time. You can see how much these fandoms, specifically Star Wars, mean to people. So sometimes you have to take a step back and remind, because we specifically in this podcast are looking at the disgruntled portion of the fandom, and we're talking about it. But I think sometimes it's a good idea to take a step back and be like, you know what? This vocal minority isn't all of it.
Yeah. So if I wasn't bringing up these kinds of things, would you never even come across it, or does it ruin your Star Wars experience because of it?
So, I mean, I don't necessarily feel like I wouldn't say that it's true that I would never come across it.
No,
I certainly
you
wouldn't.
100% you would, but
I would. Yeah, I absolutely would. But it's also not something that I generally would seek out. In all of the fandoms, that I'm heavily involved in, I tend not to seek out that clickbait stuff where it seems like it's some sort of so and so hates this because of that.
Yeah.
I don't typically indulge in that kind of material.
Yeah, this one in particular was very disappointing for me, because I don't have an excellent memory, so I like going and looking at explained videos or people's. I like looking at other people's their take on stuff, because a lot of times they'll have a perspective.
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. Like when we were Andor, when there I came across the film critic talking about their position on screen and how you know, by doing it this way, it makes your audience, you know, like you can see that he's isolated. Mm-hmm. Or by doing it this way, you feel eerie because he's being watched.
Sure.
And all of that. You know, I love that.
Yeah. It's someone else's perspective.
And that's what I tend to, that's how I started all of this.
I like that. I like to indulge in people's theories.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some of them are so good.
Yes.
And I love
the speculate responsibly stuff.
Speculate responsibly. One of my, and it's not Star Wars related, but one of the things that I love, you know, I'm a big Quentin Tarantino fan, and Pulp Fiction. You know, there's the suitcase, briefcase that the hitmen are retrieving. And the fandom for that film, for Quentin Tarantino's films, have come up with so many really interesting theories about what's in that case. So much so that Quentin Tarantino refuses to say what was in the case because he loves the theories. And I love that when it... For all the fandoms, yeah, I love it.
Yes, your own headcanon.
Yes.
To make it a little
we talk about that all the time, that canon. We have our own headcanon.
Yes. Yeah. So for this one in particular, when I was seeing these, I was really disappointed because I was going to look at a YouTuber I typically go to that is very good at, this is kind of what's happening, and, you know, here's an Easter egg. And this calls back to this, and that was a great connection, or I, you know, whatever. And he's turning to this, and it was very disappointing. And specifically, he was the one like, "That's her saying right to your face." And it's like, "What? When you were never like this? What?"
Right.
I guess maybe you were, and you're just maybe he realizes that that's going to get him more views than his other stuff. I'm not sure. So it was very disappointing. But so my algorithm keeps changing to all of this vocal minority, and I'm digging more and more for the stuff I really like.
Right.
And so sometimes it does spoil for me. I'm someone who, I think about both wrestling and Star Wars on a daily basis. Something's going to remind me of something of those two. And then if it's wrestling, I'm going to go back and look at old matches and then really enjoy these things. And you know, that's one of the reasons why I love MJF a lot, because he will do something in ring today that mimics something that happened
like
in
30
the
80s. Years ago. Yeah,
and,
40
and
years ago.
Yeah, and it's
yeah,
highly enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
So as I'm digging now and having all of this, because we're originally talking about discourse or how we're wrestling with stuff in what we're seeing in the shows,
right?
And these kinds of things are, I guess I'm getting caught up in this, like, how are you even thinking this way?
Mm-hmm.
How is Kathleen Kennedy saying not everything has to connect and everything, and you're saying that right there is her telling her face that she hates you? I don't get this jump.
Well, if you're
but I do it, feel it needs to be
if you're someone discussed. If you're someone who feels that all of the Star Wars, there should be continuity in everything, and that it should all tell one giant story, and you're being very, very close-minded in terms of that definition.
Yeah.
Because in a broad sense, anything that is made under the Star Wars label, you're talking about that occurred in the Star Wars galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so everything is kind of tangential and connected in that way. But when you're talking about this huge amount of books and comics and movies and TV shows and animation that all is related to the Skywalker saga, and that's what you want and all that you want. Is it 2 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
This franchise will turn 50. In 2027, this franchise turns 50. 50 years. And for a huge portion of that, there was no new content.
Mm-hmm.
and we thought we would never see any new content. So that was all we had.
Yeah. So you're saying that these particular fans or non-fans or former fans are tapping into their inner Anakin with their rigid point of view?
Perhaps. I don't know if I would relate it in such a way. But, yeah, I feel more like they're grasping at straws. When you're talking about, you take a quote from Lucas talking about how art should make a connection with an individual.
And then take it out of context.
And then say, see, he says everything should be connected. That's not what he said. That is not at all what he said. He said it should make a connection.
Yeah, because we were just talking about our connection with art. And specifically stuff in this room here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could very much understood what he was saying.
Yeah.
And what he was talking about.
Yeah,
and not once did I really think he was talking about Star Wars. Because he's talking about opening...
He's talking about the museum.
The museum.
Yeah.
And the museum doesn't have just Star Wars stuff in
Absolutely
it.
Not. No, I was reading to you earlier. It was a Deadspin article that I was reading from. And it was, you know, it's the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art.
Yeah, because he's done a lot of stuff.
So, yes, there's going to be a bunch of Star Wars stuff there. But it's going to... Like, he's a comic book collector. He has 40,000 individual pieces of artwork that are going to be in that museum. I read you off a list of, like, Frida Kahlo and like...
I can't wait to... I hope I get to see
Norman Rockwell. Like, that's... You know what I mean? That there's no connection to Star Wars there.
No. It's these things that he enjoys with
yes.
other people's art.
Yes.
It's his collection of art.
Right. It is a statement to essentially his legacy.
Yeah.
Like, his legacy of not just Star Wars. I mean, there's so much more than just Star Wars. And Lucas is much, much more than that. I understand that he has become this icon to a fandom.
So that's the pedestal problem, then.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't agree with everything that Lucas says, and we talk about him being an unreliable narrator and all sorts of things like that, but I respect the fuck out of what he created. Like, I love it. It's on my skin. I love it so much. He gave us this amazing thing. Regardless, you know, but he's a human being nonetheless. He makes mistakes. You know, he makes missteps. Maybe he just made something that he really wanted to do. It wasn't a mistake to him at all. Mm-hmm. And it didn't speak to you.
Yeah.
Move on to the next fucking thing and don't turn him into a villain because he's seeking his bliss and you don't like it.
Oh, to sum that up with how you usually say, don't yuck someone else's yum?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wise words. There.
I do like that phrase, and it's true. You know, it's like we started this podcast. You got this podcast in mind because of the things that you yourself wrestle with about Star Wars, and it's become wrestling with the fandom, essentially.
Yeah.
Because there is so much toxicity in the fandom in terms of, like, what, and specifically what you're seeing, because you've skewed your algorithm to this toxicity because you're looking for it. You're wanting to look at it and have a discussion about it.
Yes. And I'm talking about this stuff because of the fact that I have to spend so much time digging for the stuff I was originally kind of going for.
Right.
And I mean, I suppose we could have, you know, different discussions. I mean, because it does concern me, though. And I'm currently wrestling with this fandom and this idea of why it has to get so... It is messing with my enjoyment. Because I'm looking for those other intellectuals with their perspective. I'm not saying I only want smart people. I'm just saying... What other fans, I'm sorry, other fans that are enjoying it in their perspectives on it. Because, you know, me and you talk about it often.
Yes.
We just had an argument recently about holocrons.
Mm-hmm.
And we both disagree. And we both
100%.
We got different perspectives.
We do.
So,
we also can go into a conversation respectfully, and it's not like I kicked you out of my car and locked the door and you know, didn't let you back in.
Right. So I agree that we haven't been talking specifically. It's probably because there isn't anything new right now to focus on.
I was going to say, yeah, the content has been lacking a little bit.
But this discourse, I am bringing it up because I am wrestling with, why are they doing this? It's very bothersome to me.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons of stuff out there that's like, well, if you think this, then you're not a fan. And it's just like, more and more, I'm like, am I not a fan? What am I? It is bothering me.
Right. Well, I hate that. I hate that qualifying nature of, like, you have to know everything to be a fan.
And I don't know everything.
And I'll tell you, like, there are a lot of times when I have imposter syndrome in some of my fandoms, you know? I'm a pretty big Star Wars fan. Again,
we talk about
my skin. I have imposter syndrome sometimes about being a Star Wars fan because of that kind of rhetoric.
Yeah, I agree too. Most of the people at work don't know I'm a Star Wars fan. Or, you know, and then I'll have that just like one or two people that'll come up to me, hey, did you watch that stuff? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. You know, we're like, hush, hush.
Yeah.
Because you're either childish or your opinion's stupid because you don't agree with it.
That's what I'm really getting at, yeah. is the yucking your yum,
yes,
situation where... if you're a fan of something, I don't care how heavily you are a fan of it or how lightly you're a fan of it.
No, if you're enjoying it, then you're a fan, right? Is that what that...
Something...
Or do we need to get to that point where fan is short for fanatic and we need to be fanatics about it? Otherwise, we're not a fan.
Something that happened recently that gave me a little bit of perspective.
Hmm. Give me.
I'm a big Green Day fan.
Mm-hmm.
And our niece recently discovered Green Day through a couple of CDs that she found in her mom's room. So she only knows a couple of CDs of Green Day's music. They happen to be
the
very
two
good.
Yes.
She knows Dookie and she knows American Idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And not too much else. But Riot Fest was a couple of weekends ago, and we both went. Green Day was the headliner. And I've teased her, like, oh, you don't know this one? Oh, you don't know this one? That kind of stuff. And then to watch the absolute joy on this young lady's face through the entire set of Green Day, just how much happiness it brought her. I don't know how, and honestly, those two albums are, I'm gonna lowball it. Let's say that's a tenth of their output, their entire output. So let's say it's like, I don't know, she watched A New Hope and Empire and is like, I'm a Star Wars fan. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I agree. Actually, the same niece, I really enjoyed watching New Hope with.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fun to watch with her because she got such a kick out of C-3PO.
Right.
Such a kick. Like, oh my God, he's so dramatic. Oh my God, you know, like, oh, they're dying. Oh my God. Like, she just, how does she say it? Fell out laughing.
Mm-hmm. And so it gives me and it gives me so a matter of perspective.
Watching that, yes.
You know, so when I look at when I see the kind of discontent that exists out there and the gatekeeping, and I don't know, I guess I it sounds sappy, but like, man, I want to give some of these people a hug. Like, who hurt you? Like, why are you, why is,
according
like,
to them, Kathleen Kennedy did.
Right, but it's just like, do you remember why you, what, like, touched you? What made that connection?
So is it a lack of growth?
I don't know. I don't know. It's sad. It's sad sometimes.
It's frustrating, and I do bring up these discourse because it does make me feel not great. And it does make, I must not be a real fan. Because apparently I don't know that we weren't supposed to see screws in the walls. In, have you heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I don't know these behind the scenes stuff from all these people that worked on the set that I've never talked to. So I must not be a fan and not know.
Oh, you didn't watch the 50 hours of documentary on. Yeah.
Yeah. It gets very frustrating, and I'm sad to say that I question on whether or not I'm actually a fan.
There's the little tidbits of like the original series, for instance, the original trilogy, where like, oh, here's the moment when the stormtrooper hits his head on the door as the door's coming down. Mm-hmm. That wasn't meant to happen.
Right.
It just happened.
If
that happened in new Star Wars content, oh my god.
Yeah, it's like that weird crap going on in wrestling right now where everything left and right is a botch.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
This person should be fired and that person should be fired. Yeah. But like, I watch that and I see it and it makes me giggle and it makes me love it even more.
Yeah. The guy running around with the ice cream. That's my favorite. What is it? But, and it makes me think about, like, it's really funny, and then it makes me think about, like, there must have been a prop guy trying to figure out what can I look for something that looks space. Like, what could, and it just is so much better for it.
It must have been so much fun. So much fun.
Just to get the noises.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, the whole thing. We've watched some of the documentaries that are available on Disney Plus, and, like, they were having a blast doing it. I mean, it was all stressful and all of that, but they were also creating this whole new technology.
So proud of what they created.
Yeah.
And they should be.
Yeah.
And then you got these guys. And it's so...
Ripping it down.
Yeah. It is very frustrating because it would make me... I don't know how people are going to react to this, my opinions in this podcast. It's like I'm almost afraid to find out because... These guys, you know, these lump of people, again, a vocal minority, telling me I don't know what I'm talking about, probably because I'm a girl, or I haven't watched enough, because you know how little Star Wars I know, right?
Yeah.
So it's, like, very frustrating, but I still wanted to talk about it, and I just really love talking Star Wars, in general, and specifically with you.
Oh,
even though you're wrong about the holocron.
I think this is an excellent place for us to end this episode.
All right.
So we can stop recording and continue our holocron argument.
Arguments. And then see who comes out on top. No, it's just an opinion and we're fine.
So this has been episode 12 of For the Pop Presents Wrestling with Star Wars with your hosts, The Incidental Nerd, NS4R4.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, and always, may the Force be with you.